Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Martin Luther wrote the famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And most people recognize Psalm 46 as the basis for this hymn that Luther wrote in the year 1529. The historical background for Psalm 46 is most probably God's deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians in the time of King Hezekiah. Now, some people also say that Hezekiah probably was the one who wrote this psalm and also Psalm 47 and 48. We cannot be sure about it, but apparently the background is definitely the deliverance from the Assyrians in the time of King Hezekiah. And the record of this deliverance is found in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. And as we examine this psalm, it would be good for each one of us to go through these portions mentioned in our personal reading of scripture. I will be reading to you later in the message from the passages in 2 Kings. Psalm 47 and Psalm 48 also most probably came out of this same historical context. And both the Psalms, 47 and 48, celebrate God's victory over the enemy. Now the personal pronouns in Psalm 46 are plural. So we find the words we, our, us. So this is a song that was sung by the community of God's people in worship. The title of the psalm says, To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth. The word Alamoth means young women. And it is a musical direction that we can't define today. Psalm 68 does indicate that women did participate in the sanctuary in worship. Psalm 68 verse 25. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them, virgins playing tambourines. Now this indicates that the women did participate in worship in the sanctuary. And we also find Miriam leading the people of Israel in song after the miraculous parting of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15 verses 20 to 21. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Now the emphasis in this psalm is on the manifest presence of the Lord with his people. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Again in Psalm 46 verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Psalm 46 verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So the emphasis of the psalm is on the manifest presence of the Lord with his people and the difference it makes when we trust him. In the sudden changes and difficulties of life, there is a huge difference when we experience the manifest presence of the Lord as we trust him. And the psalm focuses on the Lord and what he is to his trusting people. The psalm states three facts about the Lord encouraging his people to trust him. First, we see God is our fortress, our refuge and strength in verses 1 to 3. Then God is our river of joy, verses 4 to 7. And then God is our God. He will be glorified, verses 8 to 11. God is our God. He will be glorified, verses 8 to 11. Now we will look into just the first three verses for now. God is our fortress, verses 1 to 3, our refuge and strength. Psalm 46 verses 1 to 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now the word translated as refuge in verse 1 actually means a shelter, a rock of refuge. In verse 7 and verse 11, the word means a stronghold, a high tower, a fortress. Now both these words declare that God is a dependable refuge for his people. When everything around them seems to be falling apart, when everything seems to be collapsing, when there are sudden changes that happens which are shocking, we find that we can depend on the Lord, for he is our refuge. That's what the psalm is saying. We can abandon ourselves in faith into the arms of God because he is dependable. He is a dependable refuge for his people. Psalm 61 verse 3, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Psalm 62 verse 7 and 8, on God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 142 and verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. But God doesn't protect us in order to pamper us. No. He shelters us so that he can strengthen us, equip us, so that we can go back to life with all its duties and dangers. Psalm 29 verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Psalm 68 verse 35. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. So God gives strength to his people. When we find our refuge in him and depend on him, then he strengthens us. He gives us power and strength to face the difficulties of life, to overcome the difficult situations that we go through day by day. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Both these concepts are found in Psalm 71 verse 7. And I read to you from the New Living Translation, Psalm 71 verse 7. My life is an example to many because you have been my strength and protection. So the Lord is our strength and our refuge, our protection. In times of crisis, the Jewish leaders were too prone, actually, they were too prone to turn to Egypt for help. In times of crisis, that happened many times. The leaders of the Jews, the leaders of the nation, they were prone to turn to Egypt for help. Isaiah chapter 30 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 30 verses 1 and 2. Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Just imagine that. They were delivered from Egypt by all those miracles, those signs that God did, and delivered them, parted the Red Sea, and delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. And yet, when they were in trouble, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Instead of turning to the Lord and trusting Him, they turned to Egypt. Now, thankfully, Hezekiah the king was not like this. He looked to the Lord. Whenever there was trouble, he cried out to God. The Lord is an ever-present help, but He cannot work for us unless we trust Him. This is very important for us to understand. The Lord is an ever-present help. That means He is willing to help us at any time. But He cannot work for us unless we trust Him, unless we seek Him, unless we depend on Him, unless we ask Him. Matthew chapter 13 verse 58. Matthew chapter 13 verse 58. The Lord Jesus Himself, it says in Matthew chapter 13 verse 58, and He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. So, the Lord is willing to help us. Remember, the Lord Jesus left glory for us. He shed His blood on the cross for us. He held back nothing from us. He has gone to the greatest extent. Nobody could help us and save us except Christ. And He has done all that needs to be done for our salvation. And He is willing to help us every moment of our lives. But we must trust Him. We must go to Him. And He cannot work for us unless we trust Him. That's why it says in Matthew 13, 58, and He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now this word trouble here, it describes people in tight places. They are in a corner, a tight spot, unable to get out. Maybe you are in a situation like that right now. I don't know. But when that happens, often we tend to press the panic button. And that is a dangerous mistake that we make. The admonition here in the psalm is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Psalm 46 verse 2. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Now the Assyrians, they threatened Jerusalem when Hezekiah was ruling. Remember that this was the background. Now let me read to you the passages from 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. These are long passages. I want you to listen carefully because you must know the background and how God delivered. When God's people cry out to Him and seek Him and trust Him, He delivers. 2 Kings chapter 18 verses 17 to 25. And the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris and the Rabshake with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. So now Jerusalem is surrounded by this army. When they arrived, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway to the washer's field. And when they called for the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder. And the Rabshake said to them, say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? On what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting now in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants, when you trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then the officials of Hezekiah, the king, they plead with the Assyrians not to speak in the language of Judah. 2 Kings chapter 18 verses 26 to 37. Then Eliakim the son of Hilkiah and Shebna and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah, within the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine? Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own wine and each one of his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Eva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. King Hezekiah, then you find King Hezekiah seeking the prophet Isaiah for help from the Lord. He's seeking the prophet, asking for a word from the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 to 7. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priest, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. They said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard. Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. But the threat still continued. 2 Kings chapter 19 verses 8 to 13. The Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he heard that the king had left Lachish. Now the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Cush, behold, he has set out to fight against you. So he sent messengers again to Hezekiah saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? The nations that my fathers destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Aden, who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharwaim, the king of Hena, or the king of Iva? Now what does Hezekiah do? Hezekiah cries out to the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 to 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Now what happens? Isaiah the prophet prophesies regarding the fall of Sennacherib. 2 Kings chapter 19 verses 20 to 37. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord the God of Israel, your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. You see, when you find refuge in the Lord, he hears and he answers. Verse 21. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. She despises you, she scorns you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She wags her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have mocked the Lord. And you have said, with my many chariots I have gone up the heights of the mountains to the far recesses of Lebanon. I felled its tallest cedars, its choicest cypresses. I entered its farthest lodging place, its most fruitful forest. I dug wells and drank foreign waters. And I dried up with the sole of my foot all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard that I determined it long ago? I planned from days of old what now I bring to pass, that you should turn fortified cities into heaps of ruins, while their inhabitants shorn of strength are dismayed and confounded and have become like plants of the field and like tender grass, like grass on the housetops, blighted before it is grown. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out and coming in, and you're raging against me. Because you have raged against me, and your complacency has come into my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back on the way by which you came. And this shall be the sign for you. This year, this is the sign for Hezekiah. And this shall be the sign for you. This year, eat what grows of itself. And in the second year, what springs of the same. Then in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night, The angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, struck him down with a sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. That was the end of Sennacherib. King Hezekiah trusted the Lord. He didn't panic. He knew all these nations whom Assyrian king Sennacherib had defeated, the gods of those nations were not the true God. Therefore, he defeated them. But when he came against Jerusalem, when he came against Israel, he came against the true and the living God. Hezekiah knew this God and he trusted him, and God delivered him. Psalm 46 verse 2 and 3. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now the earth may change. The mountains may be hurled violently into the sea. There may come earthquakes and tidal waves, but nothing is out of the hands of our sovereign Lord. And remember, he has engraved you on the palms of his hands. He has promised you, the Lord Jesus said, that no one can pluck you out of my hands. And he also promised us, no one can pluck us out of the Father's hands. So he is in total control, no matter what happens around us. Though its waters roar and foam, verse 3. The waters also symbolize the unrest of the nations. That's mentioned in verse 6. Psalm 46 verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. In Daniel chapter 7 verses 2 and 3 we read, Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. So the waters also symbolize the unrest of the nations. And Daniel goes on to describe the beasts, which are different world empires. In Luke chapter 21 verse 25, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. The book of Revelation chapter 13 verse 1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. Revelation chapter 17 verse 15. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. So circumstances around us keep changing. We live in a world of constant tumult. We live in a perilous world. But God's covenant with his people will never change. His promises are for you and me. Isaiah 54 verse 10. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So the Lord is our fortress, our high tower, and our refuge. In the uncertainties of life, he is our fortress, our high tower, our refuge. God is our refuge. He hides us. God is our strength. He helps us. These two go together. At times in our lives, we need to run for refuge. The storm is blowing and the battle is raging, and we run to him to hide. It's not a sin to hide, but it is a sin to stay hidden. God hides us so that he can help us. Then we can return to the battle and face the storm. We face the storm in the strength that he gives us. This is not escape, but rejuvenation. When we run to Him, it is not escape, it is rejuvenation. He revives us. He revitalizes us. He strengthens us. So, if you're in a tight spot today, let me suggest that you run by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't go to Him to escape. Go there and tell Him, Lord, I want to go back to the battle. I want to go back to my work. I want to carry the burdens of life. But You have to give me strength. I can't fight this battle on my own. I am helpless and powerless. Without You, I am nothing. But I trust You. Yes, Lord, I trust You. Give me strength. Then you can claim the marvelous promise of Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And notice the conclusion there in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. When you live in the manifest presence of the Lord by faith, He is your refuge and your strength. You have nothing to fear. So take time to run to the Lord. Are circumstances around you overwhelming you? Yes, everything seems to be changing, isn't it? Suddenly we had the storm and you know what happened in Kerala. Take refuge in the Lord. He will enable you. He will strengthen you. He will empower you to continue with renewed strength. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?